Well, I think, you know, obviously the big story right now, as Alex mentioned yesterday on your show, was the WikiLeaks story. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing right now. Now, if that's the biggest story of the year, I don't think I would go that far just yet. I think it may be the biggest story of 2011, depending on how all of the results and consequences of that shake out. But I think for 2010, I think you're looking at just the continued maturation of this notional, you know, thing called Gov 2.0. I think you're starting to look at, people are starting to realize that we can use this in ways that, you know, change processes and change the way we work on things, as opposed to just, well, let's get on Facebook, let's get on Twitter, and continue to do the same old thing that we've been doing. So I think you've started to see people really start, you know, digging below that kind of shallow layer of, oh, this is cool, and really start looking at, how do we make this mission critical? And if it's not, you know, maybe we should drop it.
And there was a lot of focus on information. It does seem to a certain degree that there was after WikiLeaks and before WikiLeaks. And this is a fairly pivotal moment to see what people actually decide to do.
Well, I think it's fascinating because you look at how, you know, the Air Force and they're blocking, you know,
the New York Times
and all of these other websites. It seems almost weirdly reactive, almost like, you know, if I posted something on a wall here at work that was inappropriate and obscene, you know, they wouldn't just eliminate the wall and bulldoze the wall and say no one can access the wall anymore. They would, you know, tear it down and educate me into why that was stupid to do. And I fear that the WikiLeaks is going to cause people to go to that extreme and to block the vehicles, when in reality it's really about the education and the people.
Well, to a certain degree, it almost seems like at what point does it, if you're now blocking newspapers that are writing about it, at what point do we stop people from actually even talking about it? It almost has this weird kind of thing that's going on. I mean, the Navy CIO stopping his blog because he's looking for a more secure framework. There are just weird things going on all of a sudden.
But I think some people think this is something new and you know, this is terrible and this is so dangerous and everything. But in reality, I mean, we've been dealing with these sorts of issues all the time. We learn about them when we get security briefings, when we go work in the government. We learn about all of these issues already. And so this isn't something new. This is, you know, hugely impactful and has dramatic consequences, absolutely. But the way that it happened and what happened, we've been dealing with for years.
Yeah.
So I don't see why the big sea change, why a big sea change should happen, when in reality I think we should just enhance and continue down that same road that we've been doing and almost enforce those a little better.
And in a way, it does highlight the security issues. There's always been this balancing of security and sharing. You work with folks a lot on this area. How do you walk them through how to do this in a way that actually helps you do your job better?
Well, in a general sense, we try and take the approve the person, not the content type of mindset and type of process. And by that I mean you've got to work with the individuals that are going to be posting on, you know, these social networks or are going to be talking to the media, and get comfortable with them and make sure that you have that trusting relationship with them, that the legal team knows who they are and that they trust them, that the IT people know who they are and trust them. Because if you go down that road of every piece of content has to be approved, every medium has to be approved that you're going to go talk with, you're going to get bogged down in red tape and paperwork. Nothing's going to get done. Nothing's going to get shared because it's just not worth the trouble at that point.
Yeah.
So I think we really try and focus on, you know, how do you look at the people that are going to be doing the work and educating them and realizing that mistakes will be made, but here's our process for how we're going to handle when mistakes are made versus total risk aversion.
It does seem like there's been sort of progress. And one of the sites that did so much to move open government, Web 2.0, Gov 2.0, is recovery.gov.
Right, and I think that those sorts of sites have made a lot of progress over the last year, and I think that as people start asking the critical questions, like Ellen Miller did at the Gov2O Summit, as we start doing those critical questions, I think it's up to the government then at that point to be able to take that criticism and not take a tact of, well, you know, you asked for us, now you're criticizing us, and you know, what's wrong with you? We gave you exactly what you wanted, now we can't make you happy, and have a more conversational tone and a more conversational relationship with the stakeholders, i.e. the general public, to say, well, I know, you know, we put all this data out there and it's not what you needed. How can we make it better? And let's continue that iterative process. It's not a milestone of, well, recoverygov.gov is out there and data.gov is out there, and that's how the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
I think it has to be a conversation.
We talked to Earl Devaney from the Recovery Board earlier on a couple days ago, and he had two points. Number one is don't get into open government, don't get into the transparency if you're easily embarrassed.
Right.
And also part of it is, guess what, we're learning, and so we were talking about the incorrect data that was tied to congressional districts, and people didn't know congressional districts, so they just put in a number and it was just wrong. Well, that was corrected very quickly, when it may have sat in there a long time and no one would have ever known about it if it hadn't been really open, public, transparent.
Right. And you have to be ready for that. And I've had, you know, clients, and I've talked with them before, and we've purposely delayed, you know, open government or, you know, these social media initiatives for that very reason, until they can internally ready themselves and their organization for, you know, people are going to complain or we're going to get criticized. There's going to be negative comments. Unless you're ready for that, you're opening up a Pandora's box that is just going to quickly overtake everything that you do, because you're going to be scrambling around trying to deal with these negative comments.
My concerns with is, it seems to me a lot of the open government, a lot of the Web 2.0, a lot of the Gov 2.0 stuff, been very citizen focused. And at least most of the people that I know, they just want government they want to be able to pay their taxes efficiently. They mostly don't want to have to deal with government in a real
way. Right.
Where a lot of the benefits of open government can come is intra-government, agency A talking to agency B, getting information that they, lessons learned that they didn't even know existed before, sharing problems, solutions to problems in real ways. It seems to me that can be much more of a focus in 2011.
Well, there are two points. I used this with one of my government clients the other day, this example of, you know, government should be like an offensive lineman in football. you know, if they're doing their job, you don't hear about them for the whole game.
Yeah.
But if they mess up and they continue to get holding penalties or whatnot, you're going to complain and hear about them the whole game. And if government can be like that, where you just, it just works, and you don't have to deal with them, it just works and does what you need it to do, that's a win. And then the second point is, you know, all these talk about the challenges and going out to the public and the apps for the Army and the apps for democracy and all these challenge.gov things that are so important right now and so popular. What about doing that internally?
Yeah.
You know, what about, are you reaching out to the public and asking for all these apps to be developed and whatnot? Internally, there's a huge amount of talent within the government internally that we need to be able to tap and do challenge.gov for government employees and look internally at things like the TSA Idea Factory or, you know, those sorts of internal innovation and tap that level of talent versus just going out to the public.
Yeah. Hopes for 2011, it seems to me that in this age of doing more with less, the age of austerity, whatever we want to call it, a lot of these Gov 2.0 initiatives, they have to really prove that they help agencies do their jobs better, or else they're going to become one of the nice-to-have rather than the must-have.
Right. 2011 has to be about integration and measurement of some sort. These social media initiatives, as I wrote in my most recent post, can't be this separate thing that's run by the new media director, because sooner or later that new media director is not going to be funded anymore. That, you know, a new media director isn't going to be funded. But guess what? Public affairs will always be there. IT will always be there. So we need to do a much better job in 2011 about integrating all of these social media and open government initiatives within the organization of things that are going to continue to be there through year after year after year. Because that's the only way these initiatives are going to be sustained.